So, educators today, especially in the United States, have started or are starting what is perhaps the strangest school year of most educators' careers. I'm willing to imagine that sometimes it feels like building a plane in mid-flight. You're probably making a lot of changes, and those changes are happening all the time. And one of the challenges when it comes to changes is communicating those changes and communicating how we're going to face those challenges. It's a challenge in and of itself. And during periods of remote learning, communicating these things with parents and guardians can be especially difficult for educators. But fear not, that's why you're a member of the EdTech Club. Because this week, we're talking about ways to maintain family connections during times of remote learning. Our guest speaker returning to the club is TCEA's own Director of Professional Development, Diana Binner. You may remember her from her previous episode when she talked about establishing remote learning norms. Now she's back, and talking about and communicating those norms for your classroom is one of the things we're going to talk about when it comes to maintaining those family connections. We're also going to talk about how educators can make themselves available and be proactive in communicating ideas, norms, and policies with parents and guardians. And of course, we're going to talk about how technology can help it all along. So that's what you're in store for in this meeting of the EdTech Club, our guest speaker, Diana Binner, giving us some best practices for maintaining family connections during remote learning. That's this week's meeting, and it all starts right now. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. And this week we welcome back Diana Binner, our Director of Professional Learning here at TCEA. She's building on a blog post we published in our Tech Notes blog on this very subject, maintaining family connections in remote learning. She's got five really useful steps to make sure you're on top of your communications with guardians. That can help you, your students, and of course, well, everyone else, including parents and guardians. So that's enough of my buildup. I'll turn it over to my conversation with Diana Binner. So last time we talked about setting norms at the beginning of the school year, and we talked about it in the context of the remote learning that so many people are doing right now. Another thing you've written about also in our Tech Notes blog is how to, kind of building on that, is how to communicate those norms, the expectations, the policies, even just the events that happen in the classroom, to parents and guardians, to the families of your learners. But when we think about it really broadly, when you had to think about this, what makes communicating with parents unique when remote learning becomes the new kind of normal?
Well, I think with remote learning, that it's taught us that the way that we're going to communicate with parents is going to be different from the way we have traditionally communicated in the past. I remember when I was a teacher, I was able to touch base with parents either through the carpool line when I was on duty, and you know, they would come in for either morning or after school meetings. And so now that we are in a remote learning environment, the communication's going to look a little different.
And the first thing when you're getting started is sort of the, what are the actual avenues of communication? Even before the tips to execute that, we have to understand, what are we going to do? So what methods do we have access to? When can we do those communications? Who do you communicate with even? How do you approach those challenges right now?
Right. And what I heard a lot from educators is that when we were thrown into remote learning back in the spring, that they didn't have either the parents' contact information or they didn't know the best way to communicate with parents. So I think to get started, A good thing would be to check in with the families and see, get some information from them about how can I communicate with you? What do you have available? Would it be a cell phone? Would it be a laptop? And what communication method do you prefer? And so you'll need that information. You might also want to ask families, when is the best time to communicate? Because they're going to be juggling different schedules with their children being in a remote learning environment. They also have their work schedules. So I think picking a time, I know it's hard to pick a time that's convenient for everyone, but just kind of getting a grasp of when parents might be available and offering some different times. And of course, you need to know who best to communicate with in the family.
And so it starts with sort of knowing your own schedule and abilities and when you can be available generally. And that leads to your first suggestion is to hold office hours. So how are we doing this? How do we hold office hours for parents and guardians remotely?
Right. A lot of times teachers are establishing office hours, and they're either doing that through video conferencing, either like Zoom or Google Meet. They'll set up a time and share that link and that information with parents so they can log in. You could also be available by phone and say, I'm going to be available from this time to a certain amount of time if you want to contact me by phone. So that's another way. And of course, you can vary your office hours, maybe hold some in the morning or some later on in the evening.
And so another thing you suggest, the next step perhaps, is create a learning contract, meaning, you know, drawing up something that sets the expectations for students and families. You could include all the responsibilities for, you know, each person in the learning process, the educator and the student and the parents and guardians. How are we going about that right now when we can't maybe hand the students all papers and have their parents sign them at home and that kind of thing?
Right. A lot of teachers are establishing their remote learning contracts online and posting those as a Google Doc. Maybe they're making a Google form or some type of website. But the main purpose of the learning contract is just to establish those responsibilities of both the student, the parent, as well as the teacher when it comes to staying connected in a remote learning environment. And there is a sample of a remote learning contract on the blog entry as well. But you can see that for students, there are things where the student would agree to communicate with the teacher. And of course, you have all the other expectations with being responsible, being respectful. And there's also a section for parents and guardians about being supportive, maintaining communication with the teacher, especially if the student, if their child is struggling. And then there's a section for the teacher as well, agreeing to communicate with families on a consistent basis. So that's the idea behind a learning contract, is just committing to being open and committing yourself to communicating during the remote learning process.
There's a lot of new kinds of rules that must be being developed in terms of even that are dependent on your learning management system or the apps you use. You know, the student will log in each day, or the student will check assignments, you know, at a certain time, or students will be on mute when they're not speaking in a class meeting or something like that.
Yes, you're right. There, it is different, like I said, from a traditional classroom setting. So, you know, setting up those norms and those expectations ahead of time, I think is really going to be important. And also, I wanted to mention that, you know, for the teacher, the educator themselves, setting up norms for them for how they will communicate during remote learning is very important as well.
And I can also imagine for an educator, it might be very overwhelming to be in a purely remote or hybrid environment because it is like you have to be on call all the time. Setting those expectations can even help the educator manage, okay, this is the time I can concentrate on something else, or this is the time I can worry about this or that aspect of my job. And this is the time I've set aside to ensure I have that communication.
Right. And that kind of leads into my next suggestion, which is share your schedule. So you'll want to share with families when you will be teaching, because you don't want them to be reaching out to you while you're in the middle of class, or maybe you're doing some grading or reviewing student work. So sharing your schedule, your teaching schedule, as well as your communication schedule, like when will you be having those office hours, or when are you going to set aside that time for phone calls, is very important.
I kind of want to talk about the next two suggestions together, or maybe in tandem, because they're both sort of proactive measures. So, like you said, in terms of being able to get the information about schedule and about office hours and about the expectations, these are kind of like, you know, proactive ways of communicating everything to parents. One of them is to send newsletters out, and one is to create a kind of question and answer or frequently asked questions kind of a document.
Right. So sharing out, I think, success stories, especially right now during this time, during the pandemic that we're experiencing, I think is really going to kind of put a positive spin on things. So creating a newsletter where maybe you're highlighting and sharing success stories. You can also provide links to families who maybe just need that extra support. You can highlight upcoming events in your newsletter. And there's lots of different tools. The one that I shared on the blog entry were just some ready-made Google Doc templates, but there's lots of different tools out there for creating a quick little newsletter. And again, it doesn't have to be anything very long. It can be just a simple short newsletter, again, sharing upcoming events, getting in those success stories, and providing links to families, and that kind of goes hand in hand with the creating a question and answer document, or doesn't necessarily have to be a document. It could be on your website or your LMS, whatever you're using. More than likely, you're going to have parents that have the same questions. And so the more you can refer them to just one place to get their questions answered, I think the better off, and it'll definitely save the teacher some time as well.
On the note of sharing successes, you know, using, for example, the newsletter to explain to parents, hey, you know how you have to wrangle your kids to be online and be doing stuff at these certain times? Well, guess what? We've actually been doing, you know, some fun learning stuff during that time. Can be important. One of the things you suggest after establishing these methods of communication is continuing to inform families about progress.
Right. It is very important that families know where their students stand. So knowing, so letting parents or letting families know maybe where they can go and check grades. I know a lot of school districts have portals such as that. But I think, too, it's important for the teacher to communicate how their children are progressing in the class.
And then another thing that's important and maybe not everyone thinks about that you suggest is tracking or documenting that communication.
So documenting the communication or keeping track with how many times you are communicating with families, I think that's going to be important because it's really going to be help you in the long run to know I've reached out or I've been in touch with this family, and it may show you some, maybe some gaps where maybe I didn't reach out to this family or I haven't touched base with this family. And so if I haven't heard from this family, maybe I need to communicate with them. And especially if you have a lot of students, it may be hard to juggle and remember who did I touch base with or who have I been in contact with. So I shared just a simple template. It was one that I found online. It isn't mine, so I'm not going to take credit for it. But it is a simple template for just marking, making check marks of how many times you have communicated with families. It's very important that you be consistent and be as consistent as possible when it comes to communicating with families. I think that the consistency will help develop those routines, and I think it'll help build that momentum, and it will most definitely develop habits. So I think once you get parents used to this is how I'm going to communicate, this is when I'm going to communicate, that repetition over time, I think will bring some good results. You know, just as educators in uncharted waters, I think families are as well, and they are probably feeling a little nervous about managing all the logistics of their children's schedule and the content and the learning. So I think the more that our communication and our interactions with families, that the more supportive and positive and encouraging that they can be, I think the better. I think it'll help facilitate the learning at home in the long run.
Okay, friends, that's a wrap on this week's meeting of the EdTech Club, but if you'll stay in your seats for just a moment, we'll go over our homework. That's right, it's the beginning of the school year, we gotta get used to it again. And your homework this week is to check out Diana's article on this subject, Family Connections and Remote Learning, on our TCEA Tech Notes blog. You can find that link in the show notes, the description for this episode, and at blog.tcea.org. So that's your assigned reading until next week. Also, if you want to get ahead of the game, get a little extra credit, you can always reach out to us at podcast@tcea.org with your suggestions, comments, concerns, questions, whatever. And that's it. You've got a lot to digest before next week's meeting, and you've probably got a lot to digest in general. So I'll leave things there, and we'll pick it up in the next meeting of the EdTech Club. Until then, I'm Andrew Roush. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.